Father, we love you and we thank you that you are a victorious God and King. Whatever we're facing, you're the winner. So thank you, Father, for that certainty in our hearts and in our minds. And now, Father, there may be some folks here this morning who are carrying a bunch of stuff with them, a bunch of shame and regret and guilt and just a lot of issues and problems have just stacked up in their life. So, Holy Spirit of God, we're asking you right now to move in power and persuasion in each of those lives. Remind them that they do not walk alone, that you are with them every single step of the way. When darkness shrouds their mind, you're there. When they're backed into the corner, Lord, you're there. Father, remind your children today of your presence and of your power. Well, Lord, we're going to look at your word here in just a minute. And so we're going to ask you right now to open our hearts and our minds to your truth. Lord, help us not to put up barriers and walls because of our preferences. Help us to be open to your truth and what your truth says to us. And now, Father, as we make this transition into your word, pray that you'll be pleased with all that said and done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning. Grace kids, where are you? Just tell them we love them. Who's got them today? Who's got them today? Oh, not Deanna. Somebody has them. More and more coming. This is awesome. Just a reminder, as they're leaving, I'll remind you again a little bit later on in the context of the sermon. We need some help in the ages of birth through about 5 years old. So if you're willing to do that, my wife is somewhere. My wife is in the back waving her hand. Okay. She has forms for you to fill out if you're willing to help. After service, find Renee. She'll be around and she'll give you that form. You can fill that out. And we would love to put you to work helping with birth to 5 years old. And you'll be on a rotation. We'll be there every week. And so we just encourage you to do that. For sure. Well, we're in our series about generosity, and whenever you say generosity, of course, everyone's mind immediately goes to the issue of money. But as we're learning, generosity and being Christian and being generous is a lot more than money. Yeah, money's a part of it, but it's certainly not all of it. Last week, we talked about being generous with your words, using kind words, gracious words, encouraging words, how that's free. It's free to give kindness. It's free to give words that encourage, and the results are amazing. So if you were here last week, I hope this past week you had a chance to put that into practice and using words to build people up, not to tear people down, and being generous with your words. Well, our verse and our banner here, generosity, we use the verse 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, "Now this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." That is just true about every level of generosity. As you give, it's given back to you. Usually multiplied. As you're generous, that generosity comes back to you. The Bible says in Galatians 6, what you sow, you reap. If you sow in a generous way, you get generosity back. Well, today we're going to talk about something that's not money, again, but it's something for some people they consider more important than money. And it's called time. It's called time. The older you get, the more you understand about time. I did a little search over the last few days about songs and movies about time. And I tried to look for some common themes. I guess the theme that prevails most, if you talk about songs about time or money about or movies about time, it's trying to control it and trying to change it. Most movies about time has some component where maybe you can go back and redo some bad decisions. Let me just say this. Don't you wish God would give us like a delete button in life? Anybody with me on that? None of you need a delete button? I need about several, I can tell you, right? I need to be able to use it on a regular basis. And so really the movies about time really talk a lot about going back and changing what was in the past so that your present and your future is better. That seems to be the general theme because we all make mistakes as we go along. We all do things that we shouldn't do. We make decisions that we think we should weave right and we weave left, and that doesn't work out. We take a job. We take a promotion. We know the story, right? And it just sort of happens that way. And so most of culture, when you listen to culture about time, it's going to be about changing time and trying to change some things that you've done and decisions you've made. And so today, we want to talk a little bit about time. And our primary text is going to be Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Of course, as you turn there, you're going to recognize this if you haven't looked at it in a while. If you remember the birds, right? The birds, the singing group, not like the Alfred Hitchcock movie, The Birds. But the I'm not sure what that has to do with anything, but the singing group, the Birds, had a song called Turn, Turn, Turn. Remember that song? Some of you? Some of you don't want to admit you're that old, right? You're not that old. You listen to oldies radio. That's what it is. But Turn, Turn, Turn is a song by the Birds, and it's actually taken from the text of Ecclesiastes. So that's where it comes from. And so let me read that to you if I can. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says this: For everything there is a season and time, and for every matter a purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Unless you're a Baptist, do not dance. Go to hell if you dance. You know, I got to tell you about that one. I was just talking about that one for a minute. The question was asked back in the day, can Baptists dance? And the answer is some can and some can't. I've seen some very bad Baptist dancers, let me assure you. Pentecostals typically do better, right? I mean, that's sort of how that works. And some people would ask, even, you know, historically, should Christians dance? Or, you know, and this is how this works. I mean, particularly in certain circles of Christianity, not just Baptist, but certain circles of Christianity, they'll be at a wedding, right? You're at a wedding. And now, this isn't as much true in the South as it is where I'm from in the Midwest. But in the Midwest, weddings were parties. I said, party in church, get over it. It's a party. It was a celebration. Two people got married. You're celebrating love. You had a big party. You had a lot of food. And you had a dance. And it was funny. Because you would get to church. Did you see them at that wedding? I did. Did you see them dancing? You know, and my question was, well, did they have their clothes on? Because David got in trouble for dancing without his clothes on, right? That's biblical. Don't look at me like I'm lying, right? You can look it up. It's in the Bible. That's what he got in trouble for. And so I'm just like, hey, you know, that's how it is. So anyway, if I offended you, I'm sorry. So there's a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep. A time to cast off away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. Now jump down to verse 11 if you have your device or your Bible. And the Bible goes on and says this: Now he has made everything beautiful in its time. There's that word time again. Have you heard time a lot? Every verse you've heard time, okay? Everything beautiful in its time. Also he put eternity, now look at this, into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Time. We're on the clock. Time is ticking. But a couple of things we need to know this morning. I'm not going to talk long. Psalm 90 verse 2 tells us that God is above and beyond time. It's important to know that even though time affects you and me, even though our perceptions and realities of life changes by time, God is above time. God is not subject to time. God is everlasting to everlasting. He is infinite. God is infinite and immutable. In other words, he's always has been and he never changes. Listen to what Psalm 90 verse 2 says. Now before the mountains were brought forth and even before the earth and the world was formed, God, you are everlasting to everlasting because you are God. God is eternal God. Psalm 90 tells us two things. God is eternal. He's never had a beginning and he never has an end. He's an eternal God. Why is that important? Because there are religions now, very structured and formed religions, that believe that God, the God of heaven, was a God on another planet, somewhere else, who followed moral teaching and a moral code, who perfected himself as a man. I kid you not, this is taught in this community, in this city, by places called themselves churches, that God is nothing more than a perfected man who got promoted to godhood, and now he gets to rule and reign over his own world. I tell you, God is not a created being. God is the uncaused cause. If you're looking for the uncaused cause, it is God. Everything else has a cause except God. Everything at some point has a beginning. Doesn't matter what it is. It can be a company. It can be a world. It can be the universe. At some point out there, it started, right? And the uncaused cause is God. The Bible says he is everlasting to everlasting. He transcends time. God is timeless. Now, the other implication of that, which is cool, is because God is timeless, God doesn't change. Isn't that great? God loved you yesterday, and no matter how bad you screw up, he's going to love you tomorrow. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, it doesn't matter. He doesn't change. Because God is above and beyond all time, because He's everlasting to everlasting. God is immutable and fixed. He never changes. His mercies are new every morning. You need God's mercy in the morning? It's there. You need God's mercy in the morning on Wednesday? It's there. You need God's mercy in the morning on next Sunday because you don't want to come to church because I offended you today? He's there. Right? He's there! His mercies are new every morning. Now, God is everlasting. He's not affected by time. Time affects us. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute, but it affects us, but it doesn't affect God. God's so much above and beyond time. What time does to you, God can reverse. Check this out. In Joel chapter 2, Joel's a prophet of God, and he's saying, look, if you guys don't repent and get your hearts right, God's going to send all these waves of locusts. He's going to rip up all your food supply and your supply chain, and you're going to be in bad shape. It's not going to be a good day for you, so you need to repent and get things right. But he says, if you don't, I'm going to send all these locusts. And he talks about three swarms of locusts, and some's going to just strip the fruit off, and some's going to get all the leaves and the twigs and the branches, and then another swarm's going to come and get everything off the ground. So you're not even going to have seeds to plant for the following year. And so God says, even if that happens, and then you turn back to me, I can control time, and I can turn back the clock. Listen to what he says in Joel chapter 2, verse 35. He says, now I will restore to you, even if all this happens, the years that the locusts have eaten. God is above time. We're talking about generosity today. And we're talking about being generous with time. It's important to understand that since God is above time, and oh, let me just tell you, God is the inventor of time. And since God is an inventor of time, I'm not going to get into how he did it because I'm not smart enough to explain it to you. So you go to YouTube, they'll tell you, right? But God created time, right? And since he created time, he gets to tell us how we're to view time and why time is important. We're on the clock. It's happening. You know why time is important? The importance of time tells us what is ultimately important. That's the importance of time. The real importance of time tells us truly what's important. Now, how many of you have had a few birthdays where you know as time has come and gone, your perception of what's important has changed? Anybody with me on that? I mean, man, back, I promise you, 30 years ago, I was young in ministry, and Renee and I hadn't married yet, and there was one thing important to me, and that was my golf game. That was it. If I could knock 3 or 4 strokes off the game, it was a good week. You know, if I could go through a year and I could knock some, but today, I got to tell you something. Today, if my kids needed the money, I would sell my golf clubs and give the money to my kids, and I wouldn't think anything of it. Not because I don't like golf. It's because time determines what's important. The importance of time is it helps us determine what's important. It used to be important to have a certain car or certain toys, but as I've gotten older, no thing can replace a person. No thing's more important than a living being that Christ died for. You know what's important to me today? My daughter cared enough to take her one day off to meet us in Jacksonville for my birthday yesterday and eat with me. That's what's important to me. That's what's important. See, that wasn't important 30 years ago because I hadn't lived enough. Time hadn't passed. Time hadn't done its designed work in my life that God sovereignly, providentially orchestrated. Time hadn't done its work on me. I couldn't appreciate it. But the importance of time is it helps us realize what's important. So it's important to me today. I have good weeks. I don't typically have too many bad weeks. You know, a lot of that's something we'll talk about why that's true, but it could be true of you too. I mean, you can have good weeks, more good weeks than bad weeks. You really can. It's between your ears, and we'll talk about that a little later. But I love this time. I look forward when I walk out of here in just a little while, and some of you are saying, exactly how long will that be, Terry? Let me just go ahead and just put that down there. It'll be quick. We have comedians. I'll land the plane fast here. I'm gonna be looking forward to next week. Because as I've gotten older, this isn't a job for me. This isn't a job. It's not a profession. It's a calling. It's a passion. I want to be with you. Well, Terry, you really don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I did last week. If you knew what I did last night, I promise you, you would not want to be talking to me. If you knew what I did, you wouldn't want to listen. So see, there you go. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. And Jesus ordaining this time for us to be together. And I look forward to this. And I hope you do. Time. The importance of time is time tells us what's important. Well, we're on the clock. We see God's above time. He's everlasting, everlasting. He's not subject to it. He created it. How he did it, that's not for me to say. But he created it, and so he set it in motion. And so he tells us that time is important, and we sort of gauge what's important in life by time. Matter of fact, it's so important. In Ecclesiastes 3:2, he says this. He said, look, there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. James 4:14 says it like this. Whereas you will know, you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor appearing for a little while, and then it passes away. Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us that time, that death is coming. James says your life is but a vapor. How many of you know that this just feels true? I can't prove it's true mathematically. I'm not that smart. But how many of you know, feel this is true? The older you get, the faster time goes. Is that right? I mean, if you don't know that, look at your kids. Look at your kids. I mean, I could go through and name some kids here I've known when they were little bitty. I mean, not just my kids. I mean, just little bitty kids. I remember Lexi playing t-ball with a pink bat, right? I remember Lexi, right? I remember her this big, you know? I remember that. And now she's grown. You know, I look at my kids, Parker. I remember carrying my son Parker at Disney World. He would get on my back, and we would take off running through Disney World, running through the roller coasters, you know, killing the red hat ladies. Just bam, 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 wiping them out, right? I mean, running right through the red hat ladies. I mean, we would get there, and man, we would get there to get on that ride. And now he's almost 6'3", and I can't even pick him up, wouldn't even try. I'd be in traction for a week. Time. The stone said, time is on my side. I think they lied. There are probably times it is, but times it's not. It goes by. The importance of times is it tells us what's important. Solomon and James tells us that our life is fleeting. It's going away. Our kids grow so fast. That tells us time is moving on so quickly. So what do we do? What is our responsibility to be generous with the time that God's given us? Psalm 139 says that the Lord's ordained all of our days. He's written them in a book, and he knows what we're going to do and how we're going to live them before we live one of them. So Psalms 139 tells us to be sure that all of our days are ordained and given to us by God. There's no question about that. That's what it is. So how are we to live, and how are we to manage those days? Paul says the same thing two times in his epistles, once in Colossians and the other in Ephesians. Let's look at the Ephesians 5 passage. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, the Bible says this. Now look carefully then how you walk. That's how you live. Be careful about how you live. Why would he start with that idea? Because your living is brief. It doesn't last forever. Don't live as an unwise person, but as a wise person. Making the best use of the time. Now, that's an interesting. That's a definite article. That refers to a definite idea, right? If I remember a little bit about my English. So that definite article, the, talks about the time. There is the time for your life. Every one of you in this room has a timetable. Everyone has stuff. Now, I don't understand all the interplay between will and choice and God's providence. It seems like to me, if you don't look both ways, you walk out in front of traffic, you're going to get hit by a car. That's what it seems to me. And so then the argument comes, well, is that God's will or not? Well, I'm sort of thinking it was God's will for you to look both ways, but that's just what I'm thinking, right? And so I don't know how all that sort of plays together, okay? But somewhere out there, there is a time schedule that you're on. You're on a timetable. You're on the clock. The clock is ticking. And that time that you have is ordained by God. And everyone's is different. I thought last year, you know, with all my health stuff, I thought maybe Maybe the clock was at the end for me. I'm glad a gopher's not my mailman today. Can I get an amen on that? Sort of glad I'm here. But you don't know, because time is appointed unto everyone, and it's different. But God appoints it. He goes on and says, making use of the time because the days are evil, and certainly they are. Therefore, now look at this. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, if you want your time to be manageable, it's tied to knowing and doing what the will of God is. That's the connection. If we're going to be generous with our time, if we're going to give our time, we have to understand a couple of things to this point. One, God's above it and beyond it, so we're answerable to Him. Two, God's the creator of time, so He gets to tell us how to use it, right? So three, then, how are we supposed to use it? How are we supposed to use that time? Well, we're supposed to use it doing what the will of God is. Well, in Matthew 22, our last verse for today, in Matthew 22, Jesus is being sort of grilled by a couple of lawyers, religious lawyers, and in Matthew 22, He says this, verse 36. This lawyer says to Him, teacher, talking to Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? And then Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. To be generous with our time is to focus in two areas. That's it, just two areas. Not ten, two. I couldn't remember ten, but I can remember two. Two is this. First, to be generous with time is to love God. That's the will of God. That's the will of Jesus Christ. Our Lord says, it is my will, it is my plan that you love God with everything that you have. How do we love God? Well, let's do a little test. If you love somebody, if you really love somebody, you're gonna do two things. Last week we talked about words, right? We talked about words. And, you know, imagine again, if you're getting married and you walk down the aisle and you're before the preacher and you're getting married and you do all the thing and you look over at your spouse and say, I love you. I love you. I'm going to tell you again this time next year. And that's it. Can I tell you? Even if you're not a words person, that doesn't work out too well. So words, one way we can say that we love each other. We talked about last week. But the other one is time. How does it work if you walk down the aisle and you get married, like we talked about before? You get married and you say to your spouse, you know, after the honeymoon, man, honeymoon was fun, wedding was great, see you this time next year, I'm out of here. You pack your bags and you leave and you come back the following year. Does that work? Now, we know that doesn't work in a relationship. I mean, if you ignore your boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse for 2 or 3 weeks, you don't talk to them, you don't call them, you don't come around, again, not a counselor, probably a problem. Right? I'm just guessing there's going to be a problem with that. Right? Just somewhere along the line, there's going to be some suspicion. A little suspicion along the line. Right? But it's interesting. When it comes to God, we can treat Him like that, and we think that's just okay. When it comes to God, we can say, hey, Lord, thanks for heaven. Better than hell? Thumbs up. Thanks for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Better than walking through life alone. Thank you. Oh, by the way, thank you for your word. It's all the wisdom of the universe that I need to live life well and to have a happy life, a joy-filled life, a meaningful life, a purposeful life. It helps me stay out of the ditch and keep on the road. Thank you for that. And then we never spend any time with Him. When was the last time you sat in your favorite spot, rode down your favorite road, boated your favorite area, just you? And you spent time in your mind with the Lord. You allowed the Lord to speak to you. Oh, you didn't give God a dissertation on what He needs to do with His universe. That's not what I'm talking about. You actually said, Lord, I love you. And I'm coming before you. And I want you to speak to my heart and speak to my mind. I want to spend time in your presence. I just want to push everything out. I want to spend time with you. When was the last time you spent time with God? Jesus said you need to be generous with your time, because it says, right? And He gave it to us. He ordained our days. So how are we going to be generous with our time? We'll be just first by loving God, by spending time with Him in prayer, by spending time serving in His church. That's one way you can be generous with your time. We need help. Children from birth to 5 years old, we need help. Again, I've had some of those, so I've had three of them that came through that age, so I can tell you they cannot take care of themselves. Sometimes they're 21 and they can't take care of themselves. Can I get an amen on that, right? I mean, you know, sometimes, do they ever get off the payroll? I just want to know.
Right, yeah, that's encouraging. All you guys are Barnabases. Right? Yeah. But so anyway, I mean, so, you know, that's the thing. We need time. You need to be generous with your time in the advancement of the gospel. That's one way you show you love the Lord, is by loving His church, by loving the gospel. You're saying, well, Terry, I'm retired and I've never been busier. Okay. Well, I'm working and I've never been busier. Okay. Let's break this down for just a real quick minute. Do you pray? Do you have time to pray? Let's start there. So you're saying, nope. I say a prayer, I sort of throw it up out the door, and I'm running out to get in my car. Bill Hybels was the founder of Willow Creek Church. It was up in Barrington, Illinois, outside of Chicago. And he wrote a number of books. All of his books were Christian bestsellers, big books. Hybels wrote a lot of big books. He wrote a book called Too Busy Not to Pray, the worst-selling book he ever had. I was at a conference, and he said he had cases in his basement. He said, no joke, I'll mail you one free if you want it. He said, nobody bought this book. Why? Because it strikes a little too close to home. You're not too busy not to pray. So what you're saying to me, or what you're saying to the Lord, I'm not in the picture. What you're saying to the Lord is this. My life is so busy, and the time you've appointed to me is so used up that I have no time for you who appointed the time. Second. If you're too busy to pray, then obviously you're too busy to serve. But I would argue within you, if you're a believer, is the third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom and passion and direction and understanding on how to restructure and rearrange your life so you can serve and pray as God would have you serve and pray. The Holy Spirit can give you that direction. I promise you He can. I probably can't. Pretty limited. Holy Spirit is infinite and unlimited. He can give you that direction. He can stir within you that passion. He can restructure within you your priorities and your values so you can give generously of your time to the love of God. If you love Him, spend time with Him. If you love Him, invest in His kingdom. If you love Him, it is a time. I can tell you what you really love by two things. Here it is. I don't even have to talk to you. I can tell you what you love by two things. By where you spend your money and where you spend your time. That's it. I can tell you what you love. Oh, I philosophically love, I'm not interested in your philosophy. I've got one too, and it's pretty bad. So, you know, I'm interested in who you love. Who do you love? Tell by your time. Second, Jesus says, here's the will of God. Here's how we need to redeem the time. Here's how we need to be wise in the use of the time that's appointed to us. One is by loving God. The other is by loving others. When was the last time you invested time in someone else? Someone that cannot help you? Someone that cannot give you anything? Someone that cannot advance you in some way, shape, or form? When was the last time you just lovingly, selflessly invested time in someone else? That's hard. Because it means saying no to things we like and saying yes to what we should. If you think you own all of your time, you will get to the end of your life and find a bankruptcy that you cannot get out of. You cannot change it. Paul says to focus on the time, be wise with how you walk through life, be wise with your time, find what the will of God is. Jesus says, here's my will, is that you love God and love people. There it is. What are you doing with your time? How are you generous with your time? And other people, and with other people. The Christian church is losing ground. I think all of us would agree with that. We look at the moral situation in our country. We look at the political situation in our country. We look at the just common sense and lack thereof in our country. And we'll see that the Christian church is losing ground. Do you know how it changes? It's by Christians, all of us in this room, reprioritizing our time and becoming generous with our time to loving God and loving people. There is no shortcut. Do we want our community to be different? It takes generosity of time. Do we want our church to be different? It takes generosity of time. Do we want our walk with the Lord to be different? It takes generosity of time. Here's what I know. All of you in this room, and I'm saying this, are immensely gifted. Everyone in this room, immensely gifted. You have abilities and skills way beyond me. That's easy to say. It's just true. And so here's the truth. If you would ask the Holy Spirit to help you with the restructuring of your life so you could be generous with your time and loving God and loving people, we will begin to see a radical transformation in the spheres where we have influence. Now, we might not have influence all over this county, but we have influence in some of the county. And that influence comes through you. And so if we would see a restructure of time and a refocus of our time, become generous with our time, I promise you we will see things happen that will absolutely be unbelievable. Lives will be forever changed and transformed. You are loved by your Heavenly Father today. Every day He gives you is a gift He gives to you. What you do with it is your gift back to Him. So the question is, how generous are you going to be with your time? God loves you today. He cares about you more than you know. He wants to do unbelievable things with your life. Starts with your words, and then the generosity of your time. Give your time to the one who loves you most, and give your time to the people He wants to redeem. And you will never, ever, ever, ever be sorry, or you'll never live a boring life. I promise you that's true. Amen? Pray with me if you will. I wonder if we could just take a little bit of time here and reflect on that. How do you spend your time? Think about it. Well, I'm not talking about the things you have to do. I have to work, you have to work. Okay, so we get that. And sometimes our work takes us into the wee hours of the night, and the Lord gets that, right? I mean, that's not new to Him. He sees it. It's not what we're talking about. But those discretionary hours in your day and your week, in your weekend, how do you use those discretionary hours? What do you do with them? How do you invest them? Are you loving God? If so, if we could see your calendar, how would it be reflected? Are you loving people with your time? If we could look at your calendar, how would that be reflected? Maybe right now, if you care to, and maybe you would ask the Lord now to start working on you and restructuring your life so you can be generous with your time toward the worship of Him and the love of people. Well, Father, these are your people. And they're good people. And you love each and every one of them with an unbelievable, undying, unchanging love. You have for each of them mercy and grace that's new every morning. And Lord, I thank you for that. And so, Lord, I pray that all of us will learn to understand the importance of time, how we use it, and that ultimately it's yours. You've given it to us. You've numbered our days. So help us to be generous with our time in the worship of you and in loving others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask those who are helping serve communion and the band to come on up. Come on down. If this is your first Sunday with us,